There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Cigarettes?
No, only in like movies. I would sort of a few days before, a week before, because I wanted it to look real and I did it, but I never got hooked. I never smoked them in real life.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
You did?
Oh, yeah. My early 20s was just like thinking I was cool and like doing theater and being in like theater and majoring in theater. And it was like at experimental theater wing where we would just roll around the floor naked and keep taking cigarette breaks.
And make noises, like become like different animals and trees.
Yeah. And like making out, and everybody was like had very fluid sexuality. I love your shirt.
Oh, thank
you. Like to also note at the airing of this podcast that Guillermo's wearing the most wonderful shirt that says homosexual tendencies with a like a skeleton. Explain this.
The skeleton with a leather jacket and a leather hat smoking a joint. I say it's a joint. It could be a cigarette or a cigar. I think it's a joint.
Who is the brand?
It's from Lockwood 51. It's a queer brand that does a lot of really cool, sort of edgy, provocative, like real sort of skateboardy, you know, gay, queer.
For all that skateboarding you do?
Yeah. For all that skateboarding I do. But they have really, really cool stuff.
Hey, but you know what we do? That's a nice
you
scandal.
You said do-do.
What we do-do-duty?
What do we do?
We are fucking good scooters, scooting people.
We do give a good scoot.
We do. And this is a nice scandal fun fact. Scott Foley is a rap gift or a season premiere gift. I can't remember. One of the fucking greatest, smartest, most amazing gifts ever. He gave everybody a razor, I think.
Yes. Yep.
Which is like adult scooter. And our base camp was like a little bit further from our stages. And so we scooted from stage to base camp where our trailers are. And it's greatest.
Yeah.
It's one of the best. See, you live in the hills, G. You don't get to do this. But I use that scooter a couple times a week because I scoot with Albie. Oh, my God. You have to come scoot with me.
Oh,
I can't believe,
man,
I'm just thinking about this now.
My scooter's been in the garage for years.
Like, is it
okay, you're right.
From
I live
the
on
rain?
The hills. Yeah, it's fine because it was on a shelf that was high up. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Scott Foley, for this gift. But my son is a huge scooter person. He scoots
really?
With his little fucking helmet. He's fast as shit. He does tricks. He does circles. He does squatting, one leg.
Blah, blah, I believe blah, blah.
It. And I scoot with him everywhere on that Scott Foley scooter.
Wow. Do you guys wear helmets?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that shit. I would wear a helmet, too. I'm just thinking back in like Washington Heights, like on a skateboard or we didn't even have scooters back then or skates, like no elbow pads, no helmets, nothing. People were scraped up and falling on their heads.
And I like to scoot without a helmet. I like to ride on the danger side.
Right.
But to be honest, then Albie goes, how come you're wearing, I have to wear a helmet and you don't?
Listen, I think it's necessary.
And he's actually taken some fucking spills.
Really?
So I'm like, yeah, which is fine. I don't mind scraped ups, but like he's wearing a helmet.
Hell yeah. There's another gift from Scott Foley, and it's a framed photograph of my parking spot.
God damn it, Scott Foley. Those were two exceptional gifts.
They were like unique and creative. Yeah,
like he did these super arty black and white.
Yeah.
Big prints.
Oh, yeah.
Of our parking spots with our name on it. Wait, did yours say, mine says K.Lowe's.
Yeah.
Did yours say
mine just
G?
Says, yeah, G. Diaz. That's it. Yeah.
Ugh.
But it's cool. It's simple. It's like, you know, it's clean. It's crisp. It's such a cool.
Very arty.
It's such a cool piece.
And it's such a statement. Like, you know, when you're an actor coming up and it's a real shit show, it's such a status symbol of making it that you don't even realize how huge it is until you get a parking spot on a Hollywood studio lot that has your name,
yes,
like spray painted onto it. That's your parking spot. No one else is allowed to park in it. And it is such a, God, it's such a moment.
You think, all right, this is permanent. This is pretty permanent. I mean, of course, they got paint over that shit in 2 seconds. But
they do.
In our heads, we think, all right, they like us. They really like us. They want us to stay.
They like me. You really like me. It's the same as the status of getting a back of a chair also in Hollywood.
Yeah.
If you're on a show, you get your cast chair that you sit in while you're waiting until your scene is ready to shoot. And also along the back of it is usually your name.
Yeah, I have mine right here. Did you keep yours?
You do?
Yeah, I have a director's chair in my room.
Mine's in my, oh, you do?
I'm not going to reach back because I'm going to fall on my head. Yeah, I have it right. I have it right here behind me. And it says Scandal in like the, you know, like when you shred paper. Yeah, the shredded paper.
Yeah, the red shredded paper.
Yeah, yeah.
God,
our props
damn
team
it.
Gave them to us, yeah, after we wrapped.
We also had Scandal warming coats.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't keep that.
I didn't either. And God damn it, I wish I had. But look, we keep it real here on Unpacking the Toolbox.
Come on now. Tell the people, Katie.
Tell the people. Tell the gladiators what we're talking about today, which is episode 208 entitled Happy Birthday, Mr. President, which aired on December 6th, 2012.
And it was written by the Shonda Rhymes.
Wow. No wonder this one's a banger.
Which I didn't realize that. Yeah.
That's why this one's so fucking hot.
Okay. And it was directed by Oliver Bolkelberg, who was our cinematographer, our DP for years. And then he started directing a bunch of episodes. He's amazing.
That's right. He's amazing. It was guest starring Kate Burton as Vice President Sally Langston, Norm Lewis as Senator Edison Davis, Brian Lesher as Tom, Samantha Sloyan as Janine, Stoney Westmoreland as Hal, Virginia Louise Smith as Secretary of State,
Kavita Patil as Dr. Number 4, Keiko Agena as Press Secretary, Britta Kagan, Troy Winbush as Morris Elcott, Stephen Collins as Reed Wallace, and Tyrese Allen as Dr. Carroll.
Wow. I'm very excited to talk about this episode because Shonda, she wrote the shit out of this episode.
It's an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, it's a banger. It's really fucking chock full, as they all are, but this one really is. Okay, let's remind you, let's jog you gladiators and your memory banks about what's going on. So this is what's happening in 208. Happy birthday, Mr. President. The hospital is abuzz in the aftermath of Fitz being shot. Olivia remembers the end of the campaign trail and a significant pin she gifted to Fitz during his inauguration. In the present, Sally Langston makes a play for a position as acting president, which Cyrus and Olivia must shut down.
In the past, we follow Fitz and Olivia's escalating affair during the days following Fitz's election, with some frightening results as Hollis takes care of a reporter looking into defiance. The tension, the affair, and the lengths that Hollis and Cyrus will go to scares Olivia into resigning.
And finally, as Sally is sworn in as acting president, we see who the suspected shooter is. Well, the episode starts, we're right where President Grant was shot, and we are in the hospital, and we're seeing the whole gore, and the whole perspective is from Olivia's, and Bolkelberg does the best fucking cinematography DP work where he just slow-mos the entire hospital scene so that Liv is seeing blood dripping on the floor. She's seeing Melly fucking screaming at people. She's seeing Cyrus. She's seeing like everything is slow-mo I was brought to like an emotional place.
Oh, hell yeah. He does that, like you said, with the camera work. Even the shooting of the president is done.
Yes.
in such a amazing, like, innovative way. It's almost sped up, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He speeds up. It's the film
the
looks like it's
sped shooting,
up.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like really weird. It's effective
so powerful,
as shit.
Though. Yeah. And you see, it's like, the blood effective. Spray, too, when you see them sort of get hit by the bullets. Oh, yep. It's so good.
Oh, God. And we see Edison calls Olivia. And they're throwing him in the bunker and he's calling and he's like, what's going on, Liv? Like, they're putting me in the bunker. And then I just wrote the line, Carrie's dress is amazing.
Oh, man. I didn't look up who made that dress, but the dress is amazing.
Oh, my God. It's so ridiculous, Lynn Paolo. It's like, it's insane. And she's got her hair all pressed out and she's got this like ridiculously beautiful, flowy white, of course, dress mm-hmm. that has like sparkly
like
more
silver in the front, right?
Silver doesn't it look on her like, boobies. Yeah. It's so fucking
man.
Beautiful.
But fucking Edison, I was like, oh, here's Edison again. But I had a question. not Edison again. Oh, jeez. How long do they have to stay in that bunker, those people? Like, they're like, let's go. We're going to hide you guys away, which happens in real life. Like, this is crazy.
I don't know. Like, if this were to, if this were to actually happen, this has actually happened. Yeah. I have no idea what protocol looks like in terms of, like, right. I think they probably have to, that's probably, I'm going to trust the scandal writers and say that this shit is based in truth. They probably have to take the Speaker of the House and they have to take Congress or I don't know and throw them in a fucking bunker to make sure democracy, like, is intact and, like, the whole place isn't under attack.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, also because the shooter is still at large, right? They didn't catch the shooter. So in that case, I could see how they have to hide these people away, because if they're all killed, then we're just, you know, thrown into chaos.
Chaos.
Meanwhile, sometimes nobody's shot and we're still in chaos.
Okay. So then we see what causes the whole backstory to unlock is that we see the pin, this beautiful American flag pin that fell off, you know, during the shooting. We see what the origin of this pin story is, which is Olivia gave Fitz this pin on his inauguration day, and we learn that the pin was actually an Eisenhower pin. And it's so fucking smart, Shonda Rhimes.
It's so beautiful. But of course, the minute that Melly walks in and sees the pin in the flashback, you know, scene on Fitz's lapel, and she's like, oh, where'd you get that? And he was like, oh, it was Eisenhower's. Motherfucker's lying to her already.
lying to Melly. She's just like, where's this pin from? And they don't even say, like, oh, Olivia got it for me or like.
He just
said,
oh, it belonged to Eisenhower. And that was
But that pin, she learns in this episode they're having an affair.
Oh, yeah.
That she learns. Right. This is the episode where Melly figures it out because of that fucking pin. Mm-hmm. So he's sworn in. We see a fight between James and Cyrus, because James can't go to the inaugural balls because Cyrus isn't out yet that he's in a committed homosexual relationship.
And Olivia is sort of lurking in the hallway, like hearing this argument, right?
Right. And then Fitz goes to the inaugural balls and all that. But guess what? He leaves early and he meets Olivia Pope in the Oval office. And she says, Mr. President, I could never shoot a scene like this with a straight face.
Say it again or something like that? Mr. President. Oh, I was so
hot. She says, say it again. And she says, Mr. President.
Be trying to get those inaugural balls worked up.
Yeah, that's right. Them big-ass inaugural balls. All. The crazy thing is, like, the whole time, this scene is so hot because we had Shonda Rhimes as a guest on the first episode of this podcast we ever did. And she said, I'm going to have Olivia and Fitz have sex on the desk in the Oval Office. Here you have it, folks.
Yes.
Because Fitz gets down on his knees and he goes to sloppy third.
Yo, but at first, Olivia is resisting, and she's like, we cannot do this anymore. She even says, look at where we are. We can't do this anymore. We have to stop. And I love when Fitz is like, no, I can't stop. I'm not going to stop. Can you stop? And she's like, mm-mm. And that's when she saddles her booty up on the Oval Office desk.
And he
slides that skirt up real cute, real slow. She's like,
oh,
it's so hot.
could they have shot this scene? I would have broken
me and 1, you would have been
times.
Cracking the fuck
I wouldn't
up.
Have made it past calling him yes. Mr. President with yes. a straight face. Like, there's no fucking way in hell. So kudos to Kerry Washington. Kudos
yes.
to.
But it's a steamy, steamy fucking scene. It goes there. Like, she's unbuckling his belt. He has her hand up her skirt. Like, yep. it's you could see it. It's super, like, it was
it's
out
graphic
there, man.
For, like, it's, network television. I mean, no wonder we're a 10 p.m. show.
No wonder we were fucking a hit.
I mean, it was really, really hot, and I was uncomfortable. I, like, looked away a couple times because I was like, I know these people.
You know what, Katie? I did the how stupid. I was like, how stupid are you, Guillermo? Why are you, like, looking down? Like, I literally caught myself looking down.
I did,
like,
too. It was, like, too much to take.
Yes.
It's too much to take, I think. I wonder if our gladiators listening felt that way. They probably were right there
probably
with them. But
did.
I think it's probably because we personally
we know
the two of them.
Yeah.
And it's fucking weird. Like, I mean, it's just bizarre. And then we backflash to the present day. Sally's acting president and it's all on news channels. And she fucking lands on the front lawn of the White House, which is such a power play move. She lands on the front steps and Olivia steps up and she starts fixing. She basically leaves OPA and all the White House staff comes in and they're like, are you back? And she's like, go to my house, get my suits, get my outfits, get my toothbrush. I'm back.
Meanwhile, yo, I wrote in my notes, homegirl listed off like 8 things. I was like, wait, what? Bring my suits, my stockings, my socks, my toothbrush, my onesie, my scrunchie, like what?
My thongs, my underwear, my toothbrush, my flat iron, my concealer, my moisturizing
popcorn.
Cream. And that's funny because I heard it and I was like, oh, wow, that's really not a lot.
Like conservative, you were like, oh, that's not a
lot. Yeah, I just was like, oh, wow, that's like exactly what someone would need to like be at work for 4 or 5 days and nothing more. And also they listed no makeup. And I'm like, well, yeah,
that's
Kerry
true.
Washington doesn't need any makeup. She's fucking perfect. Oh, there's tons of going back to after he's been elected president, but he's preparing for his inauguration day and he's preparing for his inauguration speech.
Mm.
They go and move to Camp David to prep his inauguration speech. And the reason they do this is because that night on the Oval Office in the desk was caught on the camera.
Yes.
And Fitz is running with his Navy shirt and Hal is like, there are cameras, sir. And he's like, what? He's like, there's cameras. And Fitz is like, where am I going to go to, like, fuck
but
my woman as
I love,
much as I want?
Yes, but I love that Fitz has sort of his first reaction is like, oh, shit, there's cameras. They saw everything. But then he's like, okay, where are there not cameras? Like, he's like, I want to know where I can screw in the White House. I was like, oh, man.
They move Cyrus, Olivia, and Fitz, but not Melly, to Camp David so that they could just, like, write and work on his speech and his plan of his first 100 days and do it
this
in
is
peace
in,
while they're having
sex.
This
is all in the flashback, right? This
yes,
is all in the
this
flashback.
All in flashback. But, like, there's got to be cameras in Camp David. This is total bullshit.
Right?
I call bullshit on this.
I call bullshit,
right?
Man. I don't fucking know. But also, is that, like, a, you know what I mean? Is that, like, fucking with someone's privacy if the cameras are, like, inside, like, in the bedroom and, like, you know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe there aren't. Maybe there aren't. Maybe there aren't cameras.
Oh, yeah. In the bedroom, in the bathrooms, they cannot be. Right? There's no way.
Yeah, so go screw in there. Why are you screwing?
Yeah, you're right. So that they couldn't screw in the bedrooms in the White House because Melly's in there.
Right. That's true.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it. Okay. So they're having so much sex and it's so cute. They're laughing. They're coming up with his plans for the first 100 days. They're arguing, but in like
a
really.
He's pushing her up against the wall.
She's pushing him
up against
the wall.
No, you. No, you.
No, you. Kiss me again.
Yeah, but it's hot.
It's hot.
They're naked. Like, yeah, it's so steamy. It's so
It's
good.
A lot. It's really cute. And then that all comes to a big fat end because Melly shows up at Camp David with a nice cooked lasagna.
This motherfucker said, hi, Liv.
She's like, hi, Liv.
Some dinner.
The kids went to school and I figured I would just like check up on how it's going.
And Fitz has this Fitz has that look on his face like, oh, God. I did. This is not my doing, Liv.
Yes.
Please.
And Liv
so
is like, feels like the other woman.
Yeah. Well,
really,
also
really, really
she
badly.
Is the other woman.
She feels really bad. And so he's pissed. She's pissed. And they haven't really spoken in a few days. They return back to the White House. They're not talking. And this is actually a huge moment for Scandal, I feel like, because Fitz is like, what's wrong? What's going on? And she's like, you know what? I'm feeling just really Sally Hemings, Thomas Jefferson about this.
Mm. Wait, and was that... Tell me what that is. Kate.
Well, Sally Hemings was the black slave that Thomas Jefferson was in love with.
Oh, shit.
And I'm pretty sure, I want to say she had some babies.
Yes, of course. That's right.
But she is the black slave that Thomas Jefferson was sleeping with for, I think, a really long time. I think he was like in love with her.
And they loved each other. Like they truly loved each other.
So Sally Hemings had 5 babies with Thomas Jefferson. Yeah. And so what I think is so amazing about Scandal is like this is episode 208. And so we've been watching an affair between a white president and a black woman for 15 episodes. And this is the first time that Shonda is bringing up this very, very, very famous relationship that in some ways like really mirrors what's going on here. Mm-hmm. I remember being on the show at the beginning and being like, I wonder if it's ever going to be addressed. Like, I wonder if race is ever going to be addressed in dialogue. Like, is Carrie ever going to say, or Olivia ever going to say something like, mm-hmm. oh my God, not only you are president and I'm a civilian, but like I'm a black woman and you're a white guy.
Right.
And it was not mentioned until this line. And my God, Shonda nails it so hard. They're in this horrible fight. And she's like, for the first time, I'm feeling like a fucking piece of shit. Like, I'm feeling like a slave to you.
Yeah. But also, if I'm not mistaken, Katie, race was never brought up again. I mean, it might have been. I could be wrong, but I don't think it was really, they made it a thing, which I really loved.
Not in their relationship. We did it for the lawn chair episode with Courtney B. Vance. We talked about police brutality. We talked about that.
But with Fitz and Olivia, no. Yeah.
This is, I want to say, I mean, again, guys listening, we've only watched the first 2 seasons of Scandal, so we'll correct ourselves when we're wrong. Mm-hmm. But it's really my only memory of it, too. We will be back with more after the break.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Katie, tell me, is this the scene where she says we can't do this? Like, and Fitz has this ridiculously fucking the best acting I've seen in so fucking...
That's coming. Yo. The best acting on the show is coming right now. So she gets in his face in the hallway. And she says, like, really quietly, like, in his face, like, I don't know. I'm feeling really Sally Hemings, Thomas Jefferson about this whole thing right now. Mm-hmm. And he is taken aback. Like, you see him like this. And then, again, we don't see them together until, like, the fucking winning scene of this episode and one of the greatest scenes in Scandal history.
Here, yo,
it
like,
is the
no
Rose
joke.
Garden scene, Gladiators. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. And he... Tony Goldwyn's acting in this is...
His, you could see...
phenomenal.
His, like, lip quivering and his eyes are watery. It's... like beyond like fucking good acting.
I'm so pissed I didn't write some of the writing in this that Shonda wrote, but it's like she, Olivia is saying to him in the Rose Garden, like, I can't do this anymore. I can't live like this. All I live, breathe, and think and eat is
you're
you.
In my
you,
thoughts. You own my thoughts.
You own this. Me. Yeah. And it's all and about he, this slavery thing. It's like it's bringing about this slavery situation. Like, you own me, she says. Like, I can't do anything. You want me? I'm there. You want me to next to you? I'm there. You tell me to meet you? I meet you. Like, I've lost myself. You own me.
So good. But then Fitz says, and I did write down some of these lines. He yells
tell me, baby.
You own me. You're the love of my life. I belong to you. And he, it's so fucking good. And she's like, what the fuck? But you know, at the same time, it's making her fall in love with him even more.
Oh my God.
Because she's like, oh my God, this guy really, really loves me. He fucking, he nails this scene. I mean, they both do, him and Olivia. But it's,
this
was like my favorite scene in this episode.
Me too. This is the winning scene. This is creme de la creme. And honestly, one of the best, most passionate. You know why this scene is so amazing and why? It's because we believe and know that they love each other so much, despite race, despite president, not president, despite it all. It's like they are sick in love with each other.
Yeah.
And like their acting and her writing and the combo of it all and being in the Rose Garden. Yeah. It's like till the end of time, people were Olets through and through. Yeah.
And again, we've mentioned this a million times, but the chemistry between Tony Goldwyn and Kerry Washington is just, it's, you know... it's spectacular. Like, if that wasn't there, and of course, including Shonda's writing and the acting, all of it, but their chemistry is just so present. It's so real that you can't, you can't look away. You believe it. You believe it 100%. You know what I mean?
God, Tony's acting was so good. You own me.
You own me.
I belong to you.
Yes.
I'm sick too. I can't eat. I can't think. I can't.
Yes.
Like all this shit.
You're
going to
make
like,
me cry.
Oh my.
Oh man, it's so good. But again, and Olivia has that look on her face like, like she cannot believe the words that are coming out of his mouth, but she's loving it.
I think we should start. I just had a real brain inspiration. I think we should start reenacting other characters' scenes from this show.
I love that idea so much.
As Quinn and Huck, or as just Katie and Guillermo. Because
I love that so much, and I think our listeners will love it. Just
come
think
on,
of
guys.
The clips that will
be Joe Morton.
Hell
I want some of those monologues.
I want to be Sally Langston. Like,
oh,
the
hell
shit.
Yeah.
Talk about great acting. You hate her more
hate
than
her.
Ever in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, she is a hateful, hateful devil woman.
Devil woman.
She's horrible.
To tell you guys what Sally Langston is doing in this fucking episode. So she was promised on the campaign trail that she was going to nominate the next Supreme Court justice. But haha, a little bit of a conflict here is that Verna Thornton was promised for being part of the goons who rigged the election that she would be the next Supreme Court nominee.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a little bit of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking Kate Burton has a monologue where she comes into Cyrus and Olivia where they have killed her Supreme Court nominee. They've
She's so mad.
In some like they let it be known that he was arrested when he was 15. So there's no way that her nominee would be elected.
Yeah.
And she comes in and she's so pissed. She was like, they found this on
Look
him. That's supposed to be locked. And I know who did it. It was you. It was you. You did it.
And her voice, Katie, reaches a pitch that I have never heard before. Like it was.
Yeah.
She
it
was so
it got like very animalistic.
Enraged. Yes.
Yes.
Wait, it got very what you said?
Animalistic.
Yes,
like a
animalistic.
Like it was crazy. It was
That's
so crazy.
Oh. And it also made me think, okay, homegirl says, a Supreme Court justice nominee cannot come back from that, I'm air quoting, scandal, which was like he did committed a little crime when he was 15. Meanwhile, now, think in 2000 fucking, you know,
oh, God.
20, 2022, 23, like the Oof. Shit that's, the scandals that are happening within the Supreme Court justices, and they're already on the bench, and nothing, nobody's batting an eye. You know what I mean? Shit is still moving along like always. Yeah. Nobody's getting kicked off.
No. Nope.
So it's just funny to see these scenes in this, you know, here.
I know that, where it was like people are, they yeah. were, they were writing the show to have some moral compass.
Of course. Well,
even though Olivia Pope kills someone with a chair, but like whatever. Course.
But also, Katie, like during this time, it still wasn't crazy in our world. So it was real. You know what yes. I mean? This shit was, yes. it was real.
Yes. And then Sally's all pissed. They go to Melly and they say, Sally Langston is making a play for the White House. She just landed on the lawn. Go leave this hospital, find something to wear, get on the podium and tell the American people that we don't need Sally Langston. Our president is still alive and kicking. Don't pretend mm-hmm. like he's not. And my God, does Melly pull on her bootstraps?
Yo. Tell Melly that she can maybe not be in the White House anymore. And that bitch will be like, what do I have to do? She conjured up
she's
some inner shit and was like,
fight.
Yeah, I'm going to shut this down.
She's a political animal. She's a political animal. But getting ready for that, Olivia has to go and get her clothes of what she's going to wear. And so she walks past all of Fitz's clothes and he's like in the midst of possibly dying. And she sees that navy sweatshirt. Mm. You know, the one that says Navy on it, and she just gives it a whiff and cries.
Oh, you said she gives it a whiff and cries. She sure does, man. That's another, there's a lot of powerful scenes in this episode. When she takes that whiff from that sweatshirt.
Ooh.
Yo, Katie, did you notice in that scene, she breaks down, but then she has this moment where she's like, she stiffens up and she's like, I cannot do this shit. Pull it together, Olivia.
Together
and she pulls herself together and she shakes the sweatshirt and folds it really sort of sternly and puts it away
militantly.
And wipes her tears away. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, she's so amazing. Bringing it back to the Sally Hemings, Thomas Jefferson line of it all.
Mm-hmm.
When she is smelling the Navy sweatshirt. After that, we flash back to inauguration time. And Fitz has invited Olivia to look at the Constitution.
Mm.
And they touch it. And it says, we the people. And at the time of the Constitution, Black people weren't included in we the people. And I can't help but think, like, that's what was so cool about this episode is, like, Fitz is like, touch it. And she's like, no, I'm not going to touch it. And he's like, touch it. And it's like so cute how the whole dialogue is so adorable. And she's like, no, you let's touch it together. And he's like, I already was the person who touched it. I've been touching it. And then she touches it. And I don't know. Like, I really had a moment like to see a TV show where a Black woman touched the Constitution. You see her finger. Like,
yes.
You see her finger touch the Constitution where it was like all these white men who wrote it. And I don't know. I'm so glad Shonda wrote this episode and wrote it like this. And I mean, I was moved like multiple times over. I just was like super moved and really felt.
And proud. I felt really proud to be on the show because in moments like this.
Like, I was such a small, like, cog in the wheel of this show that was, it was like, you know, water cooler and OMG moments and binge worthy. And we were tweeting and all the things. But what's so great about Shonda Rhimes is that she was actually also, like, moving the needle in the way that she knows how, you know?
Yeah. There was some real stuff in these episodes that were lessons too, or reminders that people needed to be reminded of certain things, and she does it in such a beautiful way. But I feel like there's a story behind when they shot that scene. Did they shoot that? I feel like did they shoot that scene in? They couldn't have shot that in D.C., right?
No, that I don't think
so. Was that recreated then?
Yeah, totally. I think.
Wow.
I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think anyone ever went to D.C. until the final, second to final episode of the whole series.
I don't know
but it seems fucking real.
Yeah.
I mean, they did a great job. And when they do touch the Constitution, she cries and says, I'm in love with you too. Yeah. And it's over the Constitution, and it's so lovely.
Yeah, the Constitution made her say it. Yep.
Yeah. She's like, my boyfriend took me on a date to touch the Constitution.
I love you. And that's where the pin goes missing, right?
Right. So the pin goes missing in that Constitution scene. And then Melly comes to Olivia and says, oh, I wanted to give this back to you. And Hal told me that Fitz didn't bring his wife to see the Constitution. Mm-hmm. He chose to bring you. And it's the
which
first.
Which is odd that which he wouldn't bring odd. His wife, because I would have wanted to be there, been there.
And then she has the most amazing dialogue that's
very
like,
passive
we all did. This is all passive aggressive, too. She's like, we all did what we needed to do to get Fitz in office. And now it is our job to keep him there. Meaning like, I will keep playing wife. You keep playing mistress. Whatever we have to do to keep the president president. And it's like, this is all flashback, but this is when the whole charade and all the cards start to crumble. It's a combination of like Melly knowing and Olivia being like, this is the most fucked up shit in the entire world. Hollis gives the okay to blow up Cytron and kill seven people just so that the election rigging storyline doesn't get out. Yeah. And Cyrus, she goes to Cyrus, says, Hollis is a fucking problem. He killed seven people. That's on us. And Cyrus has this huge monologue where he's like, those people died. They are patriots.
They're patriots. They died for us, for Fitz to be been in office.
They died for a greater cause. Yes. And Olivia's just looking around like, all these people are fucking out of their minds.
Well, and he also, Cyrus mentions Lindsay Dwyer, which is Quinn Perkins, of course, and says she's going to, you know, she's doing her country a service.
Lindsay Dwyer is doing her country a service. Yeah. She's doing her patriotic duty all for the greater good of this country.
But also, it all goes back to Olivia again, because Olivia is the one that gives the Jesse Tyler name, right? To Hollis Doyle, which Huck gives to her, because she knows that somebody has been sort of meddling and asking questions and sort of in there. So she wants them out. So it all goes back to Olivia. So Olivia is somewhat responsible for this explosion.
100%.
For Jesse Tyler dying.
It's why she saves Lindsay Dwyer, because she feels so bad.
Yes, yes.
She will not let another person die for this sin that she did. This choice she made of rigging the election. She will not let anyone else go.
Oh,
and that's why she sends Huck to get Lindsay.
Oh, man. We'll be right back, guys.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay. In the ending, of the episode, Olivia resigns. She writes a resignation letter. She signs Olivia Pope. She includes the Eisenhower pin that she gave on the inauguration day. She leaves it on the fucking desk in the Oval Office. She pieces out and she starts Olivia fucking Pope and Associates.
Yes. Oh, so good. But do you think that Olivia knew, because Lindsay Dwyer slash Quinn Perkins is an exceptional worker at OPA. Do you know what I mean? She has that drive.
No, she didn't know.
So do you think she knew or she just took a chance? She just wanted to save this girl because she felt guilty?
Yeah, I think she wanted to save her and felt like, I'm just going to keep her in my eye and under my wing to keep her around to make sure she's safe. And then it sort of like ended up that, all right, like now this is just how it is. Like I'm watching this girl. Like she's mine.
Score, man. Score for Olivia that Quinn Perkins ends up being this freaking, you know, a boss.
Spy,
fucking
torture,
chick.
Killer.
Yes.
It's so crazy. And the very, very end of the episode, they're swearing in Sally Langston and like the backflash of his pin that fell off. They have the pin and Melly picks it up off the floor in the hospital where it fell off, where he's like bleeding out, and she puts it next to his shot up body. And then the very, very end, the last 2 minutes, you know how we scandal do, those last fucking 30 seconds, they go crazy that they frame that it's Huck that shot the president.
Yeah. Oh, man. Ugh.
How did you like Huck's work at the end?
I really liked it. Again, this was one of those scenes where I had to learn how to assemble and disassemble a motherfucking rifle, which is so not me. I can barely send like a video text to someone.
Guys,
like I'm just
Guillermo is asking me for links for Google Link because he doesn't know how to get it off his phone. He doesn't know what
he's doing.
So picture
me, and I'm the most impatient person. When I get frustrated and I'm not good at something and I can't learn it, I get frustrated and I get mad. And I remember being there and being like, okay, let's do it again. Like I was just so, because I wasn't getting it. And God bless Jeff Props, who just was, you know, the nicest and the most patient person. And just little by little, one piece by one piece. And I learned how to, you know, thank God for our wonderful editors, too, because they edited the shit out of this. Out of
no,
the
it
scene
looked like
to make
you
it
knew
look
how to assemble an automatic rifle.
Yeah, yeah. But I love it. I love that moment. I love the moment where Huck turns around to look for the bullet and you see that it's Huck.
Yeah.
Oh, I was so excited.
With the red
I was like,
hood.
Oh, man, this is going to get good.
It's got so good.
And this
so
is also,
good.
I think this is where the hashtag what the Huck started.
Oh, like,
this is,
really?
This one and then the next episode is where it sort of, you know,
wow.
was used a
wow.
lot because people were like, oh, what the Huck?
Oh. Let's see if there are any fun fucking facts.
Yeah.
Well, Mark Haralick did not reprise his role as press secretary Marvin Colgate. Did he get fired?
From the season? I don't know. You know, sometimes people get jobs.
I'm going to say that that's what happened because he's so talented. I've worked with him before. He's
so
amazing.
Good.
And he's also friends with the casting director and Jeff. I feel like they've worked together a million times.
And listen, when you get a recurring role or a featured role or a guest starring role, there's no guarantee of continued work. So as an actor, you have to continue searching for work. And he probably booked a show or a movie where he couldn't get off and he was working. So they have to recast it.
And that's when they replaced him with Keiko Agena, who replaced him as press secretary Britta Kagan, who tragically in this episode, her character was killed as a result of your fucking girlfriend, Becky.
That
what a bitch.
Bitch. But also, can I just take a moment and speak about Keiko, I hope I'm saying her name right, Keiko Agena, who is another regular on a beloved show of mine, Gilmore Girls. She's one of the leads in Gilmore Girls.
Yeah,
she
plays, I think her name is Keiko.
Keiko. She plays Rory's best friend, Lane, on Gilmore Girls.
Are you kidding me?
154 episodes on Gilmore Girls, and that girl can talk faster than any of us.
Oh, yeah. I remember auditioning for Gilmore Girls, and they would tell me to talk faster. And then the casting director gave me the note, you talk out of the side of your mouth.
Too bad. So does Milo Ventimiglia. What is she talking about? He's the biggest side mouth talker in the world, and it's the sexiest thing ever.
I remember auditioning for Gilmore Girls, and they were like, you need to talk faster. And I was like, oh, honey, I got this, and I'm talking so fast. She was like, also, you only talk out of the side of your mouth. Can you not do that?
Are you kidding? I'm so confused right now because, again, Milo Ventimiglia, who is a regular on Gilmore Girls, who's hot, Rory's, you know, boyfriend for
part of it. Isn't he on This Is Us?
Yes, he's on This Is Us.
How
and he's
do you
on
say
a new
his
show.
Last name?
Ventimiglia.
Oh, yeah,
I could be completely wrong.
No, I think that's right. I think that's it.
I could be completely wrong, Lia, but I think it's Ventimiglia. But homeboy has the cutest lisp, and he just talks out of the side of his mouth. So it's funny
cute.
That you know they were telling you, producers or casting was telling you not to do that. Any crap. Keiko
okay,
is
Keiko
amazing.
Keiko is killed, and I'm so bummed. She should have had like a much bigger part.
Yeah.
And then I have continuity error referenced in Dirty Little Secrets. We learn that as a part of the Defiance conspiracy, Lia, deal, Verna Thornton was to receive a seat on the Supreme Court, the first Supreme Court justice to be nominated by the Grant administration. But in season one, episode two, a news anchor reports that Patrick Keating is to be the president's first Supreme Court nominee during his term.
That's
a continuity error. That's a continuity error, people. That's what that is.
But
100%.
Also, how do we expect these writers to keep all these facts together? Like, that's a teeny tiny continuity error that I would never catch unless our producers for this podcast told us. You know what I
Agreed.
Mean?
Agreed. And also, we're not even in season 5, 6 yet. I bet these continuity errors are going
to
get real good. Imagine if you were on Grey's Anatomy, like season 20.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't. I cannot imagine. Guess what time it is now? Scandal, 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 tweets of the time.
Ooh, I get very gassy when we do our tweets of the time portion of this podcast, Katie.
Me too, Guillermo, and hungry. Okay.
Yes.
The Scandal writers. Oh my God, I forgot that the Scandal writers had their own handle.
Oh yeah, they were on
How
Twitter with us.
Sweet.
Yep.
God, everybody was on Twitter. It was the costume department, the wardrobe, the hair, the makeup, the writers, everybody. Scandal writers wrote, "The Scandal writers just watched tonight's episode together on a big screen, and it is amazing. 10-9 Central people. Big screen not required."
Yes.
That is such a writer tweet. I'm obsessed.
Really, it's so well written. Yeah.
It's so
okay.
Good.
And then we have Chan at My Friend Chan tweets, "One thing you won't do is text/call me while Olivia Pope is on. I need to find out who shot her boo. Hashtag scandal." Agree, Chan. Agree.
Agreed. At Dreshawn on December 6th tweeted, "First lady set him up. At Germ Meets World, Fitz Dunn been shot dead to the earth. Who y'all think did it? Hashtag scandal."
I love it.
And this person thinks the first lady set him up, which, by the way, we haven't really talked about that.
That's right. Yeah.
They really did make it seem like she did it.
You think? How
well,
so?
Well, remember
what made you
before
think that?
He gets out of the car,
oh,
she says,
"Yes, yes.
We shouldn't go. We shouldn't go.
Yes.
I have a weird feeling. Let's not go." And then when he gets shot, they did a shot in this episode where she lifts up her head and she's like looking around kind of weirdly.
See,
I don't know.
I feel like
they kind of framed her a little bit.
I never thought that. When she's in the limo in the previous episode saying, "Let's not go. I don't want to go." I just chalked that up to woman's intuition. Like, I thought she feels something. She feels something's off. It doesn't feel right. I almost respected her and loved her even more because of that little piece in the limo where she didn't want him to go. I never equated that with her possibly setting him up. Interesting.
Interesting.
Well, that also speaks to this next tweet by Focus at Shabina3. She says, "That's why she didn't want to go to the dinner. She knew he was getting shot. Hashtag scandal," which he's speaking about Melly, of course.
Yep.
Which, well, there you go. There you have it. Another person thinks that she was possibly involved.
People thought that Melly was possibly doing it. At Marveen XO tweeted, "With hashtag scandal, Millie," I love when people call her Millie,
Millie
knew some shit was going to go down.
I don't care.
He just tweeted, IDC period, which is I don't care. And I never knew that till today, period.
Yes, yeah. But also, yo, check it out. It's funny how it's all women that are saying this about another woman. I wonder
Classic.
If, like, as a guy, I thought, oh, no, she feels something's off, so she doesn't want to go. But, of course, the women are like, mm-mm, she knew something was up. She's involved.
She knew
she's part of it.
That's right. Oh, yeah. I mean, Yeah. At Samantha D. Godwin tweets, haha, you know it's a spicy episode when at Scandal411 informs everyone to not tweet at Tony Goldwyn tonight. Well done, sir. Well done. Hashtag scandal.
And then
that about?
I don't know. Not to tweet Tony tonight? I don't know what that means.
Oh, because it's so sexual? This episode was so sexual?
Oh, perhaps. Well, and then we have GoldingGirl617, and she says, everyone at work is trying to figure out who shot the president. Hashtag scandal. It was me, everybody. It was Huck.
You guys all remember, like, we're about to go down a really dark journey with Huck. We're talking waterboarding. We're talking dark and dark darkness underneath the Pentagon and what's really going underneath the streets of D.C. The next episode we have up is called Blown Away.
Little did I know that I was going to venture out into the world of nudity on primetime television.
You guys just weren't lucky enough to see it. But everybody who was in the room who shot with Huck that day when he was getting tortured saw Guillermo's dick and balls.
Yeah, my country breakfast. Mm-hmm. Two eggs and a sausage. Folks,
I have never heard that.
You're welcome, Katie Kulos. You're welcome.
A country breakfast.
My country breakfast.
Look out. I'm teaching that to my son right away because I think it's fucking hilarious. He's not going to get it.
Folks, this has been a pleasure and a dream to be
and
with you all.
And we can't wait to be back again for Blown Away. We may or may not have a guest. You may or may not hear about the country breakfast that Huck serves up while he's getting tortured in the Pentagon. What a dream. What a
gift.
This
was awesome. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Gladiators, for listening and going on this journey with us. This is
and
like
for
really,
Frida
really
Kahlo,
fun
should
for
we
us.
Say?
Oh, gracias, Frida Kahlo.
Gracias. Viva la vida, everybody.
Viva la vida.
Viva la vida. And thank you, Shonda Rhimes, for writing
thank
this bomb-ass episode.
Please.
Good
Always.
Lord. This episode was fire.
This is a good one. Go watch this. If you guys haven't watched it and you heard the podcast episode, go watch the episode on Hulu.
Happy Check birthday, Mr. President.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
Could you imagine doing that? Mr. President, say it again. And then he says, what did she say? I like it when you say it. Say it again.
Mr. President.
Oh, good. So you'll play Olivia and I'll play Fitz.
We gotta do that. We gotta pitch that if we could like reenact
you
scenes.
You own me. I belong to you.
That was so good. That was so good. Ooh, I got chills.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, everybody. Thank you guys for joining us on Unpacking the Toolbox. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, share with your friends, rate, or leave us a review.
Scandal is executive produced by Sandy Bailey, Alex Alche, Lauren Homan, Tyler Klang, and Gabrielle Collins. Our producer and editor is Vince DiGianni, with music by Chad Fisher.
Scandal is a production of ABC Signature, and you can follow along by rewatching Scandal on Hulu.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app or anywhere you subscribe to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. It's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May.
Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.